Here's a question that has been asked by generations of people over many centuries. And if you haven't asked the question yourself, you've maybe thought about asking it. The question is, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to good folk? I have a friend who is a minister, and as a young minister, lost his wife, and he was left with three children. And he tells me that on the day that she died, he went home and he surprised himself because the overpowering emotion that he felt was not sadness, as you might expect, but was anger. And he remembers how he lay on his bed and with his two fists hit the mattress with anger. And that's because he felt angry that a great injustice had been done to him. And that experience is not a unique experience, for I've known many people who have felt the same way. That they have lived a good life, that they've always tried to do what was right. They have been upright in their living, and then suddenly this terrible injustice has been done to them. And they have felt angry. And the worst part of it is that it's anger not just with doctors, or with family, or even with themselves, thinking they might have been able to do more to avoid what has happened to them, but anger with God, and angry because they feel that somehow or other God is nowhere to be found. Where were you, God, when this happened to me? Why did you not act? Why didn't you intervene? Why didn't you stop this happening to me? Anger with God and the feeling that God is deaf. God is nowhere to be found. And this was exactly the experience of this man Job in the Old Testament that Jeff read to us just minutes ago. Here was Job. He was a good man and an upright man and a righteous man and a man of great faith, a man highly regarded and highly respected. And he had everything going for him. He had land, he had wealth, he had family, he had health, he had everything going for him, and he lost it all. He lost his land, he lost his livelihood. His family were killed. He lost his wife, who left him. And finally, he lost his own health. It couldn't have been worse. And friends came to Job and they said, "You must have done something wrong, Job, to deserve this," because that's how they thought. If you'd taken another course, another way of living, this might never have happened to you. And God shunned them all, and he turned his anger against God. And he rails against God for 37 chapters. He rails against God, shaking his fist in God's face and saying, "Where were you? Why have you done this to me? Why will you not speak? Where have you gone? I don't deserve this." 37 chapters. And God is silent, not a word. And then in chapter 38, God speaks. And he says, right, Job, you've had your say. It's my turn now. And he says to Job, he says, who do you think you are to question me? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I set the stars in place and put the planets in motion? Where were you when I sent the rain to water the fields and made the crops to grow? Where were you when I made the sun light up the day and the moon by night? And for 70 questions, he asks Job. He turns it round and he asks Job 70 questions. And Job is humbled. And the strange thing is, he doesn't get an answer to all these questions that he asked in 37 chapters. He doesn't get an answer. But what he gets is a revelation. There is no answer. We don't know the answer. It is beyond reason. Remember when Jesus was crucified? The Bible says they hated him without a cause. For no reason. That is the nature of what is wrong with our world. It is irrational. What Adam and Eve did was irrational. The fallenness of our world has its roots in irrationality, of things that don't make sense. That's why we speak of mindless violence. That's why we speak of thoughtless acts. If there's no reason, there can be no answer. It's just unreasonable. And Job couldn't see it. And the reason he couldn't see it, because it wasn't there to be seen, this answer that he wanted. It was like he was in the dark. When you're in the dark, you don't know how to move. You've lost your bearings. You don't know what the answer is. You don't know. This week, we were at the safari park and we went into the scary tent, which is being prepared for Halloween. And in this scary tent, it was totally black. I mean, totally black. And it was so black that you couldn't move because you didn't know how to move. You didn't know whether to go forward or to go back. You didn't know whether to put out your hand or to keep your hand in. You didn't know anything because you were in the dark. And that's how it is when bad things happen to good people. You just don't know how to move. There are folk in church this morning, and it took you all that you had just to get out of bed, never mind to come here this morning, because of what's going on in your life. It's like being in the dark when you are assaulted by suffering and pain, as Job was. And we don't like being in the dark. And we believe we shouldn't be in the dark, and especially as Christians. I mean, after all, did Jesus not say, I am the light of the world? Did he not say, if you follow me, you will not walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life? Did John not say that when Jesus came, even then, the true light was coming into the world? We like our faith well lit. We like living in the light. We don't like the dark. But if you're living in the light and you know exactly where you are and where you're going and how to respond, you don't need any faith, do you? Because you can see clearly all the answers. And you can see how you must respond and how you must live. The Lord is my light and my salvation. We don't like the dark. And yet, here's the thing. God is at home in the dark as he is in the light. God dwells in darkness. The psalmist says that to him, dark and light are both the same. God does some of his best things in the dark. The story of creation began in the dark. Darkness covered the land, remember? And he said, let there be light, but it began in the dark. The exodus of the people of Israel from their slavery in Egypt took place in the dark, at night. The crossing of the Red Sea was at night. The manna that fell in the desert came at night. The Ten Commandments were given when darkness covered the mountaintop. Jesus was born in the dark. Abraham went forward in the dark. Jacob had his dreams in the dark. Joseph had his dreams in the dark. Bethlehem happened in darkness. The Mount of Transfiguration happened when darkness covered the mountain. The cross took place in the dark. At that moment, darkness covered the whole land. And most wonderful of all, Easter took place in the dark. In the darkness of that tomb, Christ was risen. God does his best things, it seems. He is as home in the dark as he is in the light. So if you are in the dark, do not believe that God is absent. He is as at home. He dwells, says the word of God, in darkness, though he is the God of light. And so God's answer to Job was not to give him the answer that he wanted, the explanation. How do you explain something that's wholly irrational? God's answer to Job was, in your darkness, I was there. We had an elder who was mugged in Buchanan Street in Glasgow one dark winter night when he was returning from a function in the city of Glasgow. And he was left lying on the pavement, minus his wallet, and injured. And somebody came and knelt down beside him and waited with him until the ambulance and the police came. And he told me later, I don't know who it was that was with me, and I don't remember anything he said. I just remember how he made me feel. It wasn't what he said. It was just that I knew he was there, and I know how he made me feel. And if Job had known that in the darkness that had befallen him, God was present, he wouldn't have needed any answers. He wouldn't have needed to hear any words. He only needed to know that God was with him. What a wonderful, wonderful word this is for all of us. Father Trevor Huddleston, who wrote the book Not For My Comfort in the era of apartheid, said that all of us live by a pool of tears. All of us. All of us live by a pool of tears. And all of us, at some time, someday, will drink of it. Well, when you do, and you feel the darkness overwhelming you, remember, it's not words of explanation you need. It's not words of answer that you need. It is the assurance that he is with you, and you will feel stronger and better because of it. For God dwells also in the dark. Amen, and thanks be to God for his word. We worship God.